Welcome to the Choice Magazine podcast, Beyond the Page. Choice, the magazine of professional coaching, is your go-to source for expert insights and in-depth features from the world of professional coaching. I'm your host, Gary Schleifer, and I'm thrilled to have you listening to us today. In each episode, we go beyond the page, go figure, of articles published in recent issues of Choice Magazine and dive deeper into some of the most recent and relevant topics impacting the world of professional coaching. Exploring the content, interviewing the talented minds behind the articles, and uncovering the stories that make an impact. Choice is more than just a magazine. For over 21 years, we've built a community of like-minded people who create, use, and share coaching tools, tips, and techniques to add value to their businesses, and of course, to impact their clients. In today's episode, I'm speaking with personal development career coach and author, Julie Vandermeulen, who's the author of an article in our latest issue, Unspeakables, Uncomfortable Topics We Avoid That Impact Coaching Outcomes. Her article is entitled, Money Talks, Money's Power and Sensitivity in Coaching Ambitious Women. A little bit about Julie. She's the founder of Own Your Own Life. I'm sure that calls to a lot of people, and is a trailblazer in personal development, career coaching, and digital branding for ambitious women. With a blend of entrepreneurial flair and heartfelt authenticity, she empowers women to harness their narratives, ensuring that they shine in the digital age. Julie, thank you so much for joining me today. I am so excited to talk about this article and talk to you. So,
Hi,
welcome.
Gary. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And thank you so much for writing this article. Talk about a big elephant in the room, unspeakable. Now, so I was normally going to ask, like, why did you write this article? But I can tell by your background that this is right up your alley. But is there anything else that you want to say that called you to write it at this time?
I think it just I didn't do that on purpose, actually. So originally, I was not that interested in coaching women about money. It's not what I do. I just coach ambitious women in general. But it so happens that as I was coaching every single one of them, there's always something about money. There's always something about, they will always slip something like, oh, I'm not that great with money. Or, oh, I don't like to talk about that, or I do have an issue with, asking what I'm worth, these kinds of things. And so that's how I got into the whole money, subject. And that's how I wrote about it. When I saw that you had a volume dedicated to unspeakables, I was like, well, one unspeakable for me and my type of coaching is definitely money. So, yeah.
Well, and and I'm kind of going to put you on the spot, but not, because one of the unspeakables is having a conversation about money and women with a guy. So what's coming up for you now that you, and during this conversation, I don't want you to resist holding back because I'm the cis white male privileged guy thing. I really want you to let all the guns loose for our audience to really be clear. So you have full permission to bring up the guy thing if you need to, right?
Thank you. I will say that I'll be honest. I did have a thought about that, the self-conscious thing that I was like, I'm only talking about women. Does that apply to men? Does that apply to, however you identify? And then I was like, okay, I will just focus on what it is that I'm doing. And if we need to talk about it, we'll talk about it. So
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I know this, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's a surprise to guys.
Yeah.
But, we'll talk more about it. We'll circle back and see if we handle this, if we're good. So what are some common misconceptions people have about money, and how do you handle them in your coaching?
So I think in general, maybe not every society, I can't speak for the whole world. I don't know how every culture thinks about money, but where I come from, so I come from Europe in Belgium, but I find in the United States as well, where I'm staying right now, most people feel quite uncomfortable around money. So I think here in the United States, it's a bit more acceptable to talk about how much you earn and, talking about success in that way. But even so, I think talking about money is always related to success. And so I think even in cultures where it's okay to talk about money, it's okay to talk about it when it's going well. Mm-hmm. And so, talking about your taxes is not that sexy a topic. So most people don't talk about it. But it's important, right? It's something that is
Yeah.
really important. So it doesn't matter how much you earn if you're taxed, a lot, then maybe you don't have as much as you thought. So it's an important conversation. So there's a lot of resistance towards that as well. But then, especially about debt, which a lot of people have, that's not a topic that most people are willing to talk about. So I think that's one of the big misconceptions about money would be that it's a taboo, and that you have to be, in order to talk about it, it has to be going great. When I think, to me at least, but maybe that's because I'm a coach, the value of it is speaking about it when it's not going well and trying to uncover why it's not going well, right? So that would be one main thing for people in general. Now I think with women, there are different layers of how, and I'm going to include myself in that because I'm also working through that. We have a lot of ideas, even when we're trying to be very ambitious and out there and so on. We are still, most of us, trying to be good girls, whether we know it or not. And so being a good girl means, being kind of the caretaker, not asking for too much, being, a bit of a people pleaser, all these types of things. And so that doesn't go too well with demanding for your worth and saying, I'm worth that much. And, this is, these are my boundaries and these types of things. So I think that there's something there. And I would say maybe one more thing is, which maybe is the part that saddens me the most, and why I'm probably talking about this the most, is most women think they're not good with money, which to me is something I find problematic because it's just a skill. And, I coach ambitious women. So these women are badasses in so many ways. They're used to having, these amazing skills and all these incredible things. So it's puzzling to me to think, oh, you're not good with money. What does that mean? Like, you could be good with money. Plus, it's really important. It's like
Yeah.
you can't really be successful if you don't have money. And I'm not saying that in a success-driven thing. I'm just saying if you don't earn a good living, you can't take care of yourself. You can't take care of your family. You will be stressed, all these types of things. So I think these are the most important ones that I see in my coaching.
Yeah. Wow. No kidding. Well, as far as women knowing about money, and my sister, she handles money quite well.
I love to hear that.
But culturally, though, back to your point about culturally and your question. So I grew up with in Canada with German parents, immigrants. So I'm first generation Canadian, and it was taboo culturally to speak about money, whether you were making it or not, right? And a lot of organizations, they don't want you to talk about money and what people make because they don't want to be called out. And that's why there are organizations like, what's the one called Glassdoor? Glassdoor that talks about what people make in money. So yeah, thank you very much for that. So what do you do? How do you help women redefine this relationship, this way they are, a relationship with money through your coaching?
There are many ways. I think the easiest way is what we kind of always do in coaching is just asking, questions that are framed differently. So I will hear, like I said, most women who come to me, they don't come with a money issue. They come with other things. So I hear that little thing that they just said about money, and I just question. I'm like, can we just go back?
Good for you.
I just heard that little thing that you just say. What do you mean by that? So I think just pointing it out, like we do in coaching, helps a lot. Just that, because I think people in general are smart, but the specific niche that I have, it's women who are very self-aware and who want to grow. Like they're in that space. So if I ask them a question, immediately they will try to unpack their own thoughts and so on. So I think just that is just enough in itself. Then I think the playfulness, being very playful about it, just smiling. Oftentimes, they will tell me something. They're, the ambitious type, which, they will deliver a perfect speech, and then I'll just stand there and I will smile because I know that it's my own speech.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, interesting. And then they will laugh and be like, okay, let me try this again and tell the truth. And
Oh,
then
wow, that's
besides,
great.
yeah, I think a lot of times it's just as easy as that. But then sometimes, of course, you need more than that, because some people are more resistant, but also all of us, there are layers to what we're capable and willing to, uncover about ourselves. And I think then when I need to go deeper, I have some specific tools that I use. I have one. I think the most important one is me showing my own vulnerability, a bit like I'm doing right now, where I don't just do it about, don't just make it about them. I also bring it back to me and saying, hey, that's an issue for me too. Like I'm in the exact same thing where constantly I will wonder if I'm in a, on a good day, I'm like, no, I totally deserve this. But if I'm on a bad day, I start thinking, is my rate okay? Is this too much in my work? You know, that's just the reality of it. And I think it's not just women, but I think a lot of women think like that. And so, yeah.
Me too. I'm going through this right now as I redo my landing page for coaching and what's my, what am I charging and value versus, and all that. So yeah, I hear that. But I agree. It happens more with women. I mean, you even highlighted a few topics. I can't resist talking about this. You talked about societal shadows and money assertive women are given labels like greedy, bossy, or materialistic. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't help. So it's no surprise when you said, they don't want to talk about money or it's, they feel bad about it, all that sort of stuff. So thank you for pointing that out in the article as well.
Oh, of course. I think the worst part of it is, I mean, for me, maybe it's not the worst part because societal things are reality as well, and we need to challenge them. But what I'm in my line of work, what I'm interested in is the individual and how they perceive themselves, right?
Yeah.
And I'm a bit sad when I see is that all these beliefs are internalized. This is, you know, that this it's not just a judgment from society, is that, you know, we, if I may include myself, and now I can include you too, like we, in general have these thoughts about ourselves that, you know, am I being too pushy? Am I being too much? All these types of judgments towards ourselves when, you know, it's just, it seems when I'm being rational about it, it seems like a normal thing to do in a society that pays you for your value to just rationally assess what is my worth? What am I offering? And, you know, what is the price out there? But yeah, most women don't do that.
Yeah, no kidding. So now that you know this, have you altered your agreements or your intro with coaching ambitious women to say something about money, or do you just continue to let it flow, like come up naturally?
That's a great question. I think I do a little bit of both. In a sense that now when I have the way that I function is usually women come to me, I have a membership, but before they start the membership, they come for what I call a deep dive. And so in that deep dive, we uncover their beliefs, their values, and stuff like that. It's a longer session. And so in that one, I also have the opportunity to talk a little more about myself, who I am, what I offer, and stuff like that. And so in that specific framework, I will usually talk a little bit about money because I talk about self-worth. A lot of what I do has to do with these women aligning themselves. So not just being go, 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 the go-getter, but trying to uncover why they're being stuck in somewhere in their lives or
Right.
why they're not feeling fulfilled. And so that a lot of the time it has to do with their self-worth. And so I can't talk about self-worth without mentioning a few things, and one of the things is money. So I think that has changed in the sense that I'm more outspoken about it and saying we don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, but I'm pretty sure it will be helpful to you. And every time, it has not happened once that a woman said to me that they don't want to talk about it. They're just saying, oh my God, like I would never have brought this up by myself, but I really need to work on that.
Yeah.
So it has changed a little bit.
It goes along with one of the ICF core competencies. I think it's number four about knowing more about your client or letting the client know what's what their possibilities are.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, you spoke in the article and you've touched on this in our conversation today. Can you tell me more about how you navigate that tension that arises when discussing fees and values with clients? And you can even use your own example, yourself as the example.
So I think there are two things to that. There's me and my own value and my fees, and then especially for business women, because I have a lot of those in my coaching sessions, how they navigate their own fees and value. So I think for me, again, I have a very playful nature. So
I
I
get that.
so I bring that a lot when I'm coaching, and I find that a lot of things that are harder to talk about when you laugh about it and you realize it's just a common thing we share, it's not that big of a deal anymore, and so much can come out of that. When I talk about my fees, I have to say that I'm also a bit of a trickster in the fact that I have created my website so that people pay for my fees in advance. So it's not a conversation. Many coaches, they have to do that during a coaching session. I don't have to do that. So I'm very lucky about that. But I do have the conversation of how much is this going to cost? What is the value? Why do I think, that this is worth it? And I think for me, I have a very rational part inside of me. And I think a lot of people have that too, that if you explain to people why they're paying that price, which is I'm offering this, I will be fully present, you will get that amount of time, I will be reading your coaching survey in advance, I will be there after, whatever it is that you're doing, I find that most people, they're willing to purchase whatever you're offering if you just explain to them what it is that you're doing. There's a rational part of us that just does that. And then the second thing is just, I think, just being vulnerable and saying, well, this is me. You can take it or leave it, kind of thing. And I think that's the way that I approach it for me. Now, when it comes to how I coach other women to ask for their own worth, is again, I ask for this rationality kind of principle. Say, have you taken a look at, what's the reality of it? So if you have a job, have you looked at, like you said, Glassdoor? What is the average salary for that? Most women don't even look at that. They just go to a job interview and they've never looked at how much they should earn. And so they go there and whatever they offer, they feel, oh my God, I'm so lucky that I received that. And I'm like, well,
Oh my
maybe.
goodness. I don't want to tell tales out of school, but my mother had an issue with an insurance thing recently, and her intuition said that the amount they were offering was not enough. And because I was helping her with the situation, I said, well, how much would you like? And she told me. And so, figuring there'd be negotiation, I went a little bit higher and we got it. And I then, when we heard back that that was happening and she has the check now, I said to her, this was your intuition that called this out to say that's not right. So maybe part of it too is not just value, but fairness and equity. Equity maybe is the thing, right? Fairness for my mom, but equity for the people you talk about. That glass door is all about leveling the playing field because we know women are not paid the same as men for the same work. Like, seriously, this is the 21st century. Let's get a grip, people, right?
But you know what's interesting too is that at least the type of women that I'm coaching, they have those beliefs. Like what we're talking about are things that they talk about too, that they do believe that they should earn as much as men, and they have all these, strong conversations. And yet when it comes, when the time comes to negotiate their own worth, they're not there yet.
So what's the fear?
I think the fear is, I mean, I think there are multiple, but probably one is judgment. How will they be perceived in that moment? And I think in general, it's a scary thing, putting your work like that, in a job interview or wherever. I think it's a scary thing in general, to be vulnerable and say, hey, this is what I'm worth. What if, people shut a door in your face? It's never nice. And I think, yeah, if you already have a lot of self-doubt about, am I worth that or not, then it will be easier to not receive rejection rather than say, this is what I'm worth, and I will be out myself. I think there's something around that. So there's judgment of others and how they will perceive us. Are we demanding? Are we bossy? Are we also, I think in organizations, there's also you touched a little bit on that. And the fact that people don't want us to know how much we're earning, and we can't talk about those types of things. And yeah, I think there's just a fear of being labeled a specific way, that, oh, you're really here for the money and we want to be good. And so we want to say, no, actually, we're mission driven. We love contribution. We're generous beings. So, whatever the pay, we'll take the job because we're just good human beings. And I think there's something there too.
Another word that's coming up for me is resentment. And in the context that should a woman not ask for what she wants, and it's so easy and they get what they offer her, then there might be some resentment afterwards saying, why didn't I ask for more? Right? It's a catch 22. It's a no-win scenario, right? But that's the word that came up for me right now was
And
that.
shame. I would say shame too. I think in what I see, a lot of women, they do feel resentment. There's a lot of built up anger inside. And like you say, I think I think a lot of women too have this thing, you know, how we talk about relationships and we say, you know, don't date potential, that type of thing, that like date the person that you have right now and not who you think they might become. I think it's a bit the same with jobs, that a lot of women, maybe men too, I don't know, but a lot of women take a job and they think, you know, for now, this is okay. And then right. I'll prove myself. And in 3 months, you know, I'll get a raise. And then they never do. So yeah. I think also a part that is, you know, we trick ourselves into something like that, into thinking, you know, later it will be yeah. easy. And then the shame of having to live with that, you know, like afterwards, you, in retrospect, you look at yourself, you're like, again, you know,
yeah. why did I do that? Oh, I'm so bad, you know, and blah, blah, blah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, if you're, I don't know, a director of something or a manager and you have this important title and you're out there in society and everyone is saying, oh, wow, you're amazing at this, you're amazing at that, you must be, there are a lot of assumptions. And then if inside of you, you think, yeah, but you know, I'm earning the same salary as, you know, I was like 3 years ago, and I had no responsibilities. It's like, you kind of cannot even process your, you know, the title or how well you're doing in general. You start doubting yourself because you don't have the, you know, the amount of money you deserve. So there's a lot of things inside.
A lot of things conflicting. You know, there's one thing you touched on too that came to mind, and that is when I work with my clients, I mine the conversation for conditions of satisfaction. So I'm working with a bunch of people in career advance, the career conversation, right? And what I do is create this list that I hear. And why I say that in this conversation is because if I hear that it's important for the organization that they work for to be one of the cultural norms is equity, then it's a testament to the organization if they treat women fairly, and then it honors their value of equity and the condition that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it can be used as well. If they, you know, and this might be the thing too. And we know as coaches that sometimes if you talk about this as a third entity, not you, not me, but that thing. Right. Then sometimes it's easier to have that, say that thing rather than speak for yourself.
That is true. I'll be honest. I've never used that with the idea of like a third party being an organization. I'll usually use the typical thing as, you know, what if it was your friend, you know, what would you say?
That's the same thing. That's the same. Yeah. If you were coaching your friend, you're talking to your friend, what would you tell them? Great. So let's bring it home.
Yeah.
Well, let's tell yourself the same thing. Right. Yeah. So what's getting in the way? And, you know, and then, of course, the coaching just transforms the whole conversation.
Yeah.
Wow.
I see how that works, how the human works, that we don't want to see things for ourselves. But then, yeah, we are willing to do so many beautiful things for other people.
Yeah. And we have our clients to thank for seeing a lot of the things that we see in ourselves. Like you're saying, being transparent about what's going on for you. And, you know, you're in the same boat. Yeah. And it doesn't go away. I don't think it would ever go away. Right.
No, but also I think that, I don't know about you, but how I've seen things evolve for me is as I grow, I attract women who are more and more like me, you know, so the women that I coach grow with me and I grow with them. And so I think there's always another level, no? So
yeah.
I'm not at all who I was a year ago, 3 years ago, but neither are they.
Right. So, yeah. They're growing up with you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Beautiful process. Yeah.
Wow. What would you like our audience to do as a result of the article in this conversation?
I think that for coaches who read this, I would love for them to just think about the topic themselves. So both things, one, the part about money, how do they feel about money and how is that coming in the way of it being an unspeakable in, you know, what they, you know, in their coaching sessions and in being able to coach women, or not specifically women, but I'm talking about myself, but coach people around money. I think a lot of it is our own resistance, no, towards things we are afraid of. So I would say maybe one thing would be that. And the other thing would be, I mean, we know that as coaches, but really being vulnerable, I think is, if there's one thing I think for me that is the most important in the article for a coach is that part, is that when you're allowing yourself to be vulnerable and, you know, kind of just witnessing yourself and other people who just tell you their beautiful stories, it's like it changes the whole game, and you don't have to be perfect at it. Many times, even today in this conversation, there are things I'm not sure about or I'm still dealing with and so on and so forth, but it makes, you know, the relationship beautiful. and it makes people grow and they see you kind of battling with your own thing. So I would say probably vulnerability would be the second thing that I would
Yeah.
love for coaches to think about a lot and be willing to just chill.
Oh, I agree, and I think we do a pretty good job of that already. Without, but the one thing to be careful of is to remember that it isn't a bias that affects your conversation with the client. That, oh, I, then we go down that other slippery slope of, well, I'm struggling with this, so how could I help that client, right? So there's being careful around that conversation.
That is true. But then there's also the positioning that we have in coaching where it's not like you're talking to your friend either. So
Yeah.
I'm not out there telling them every secret in my life. I'm just, I will be sharing a specific part to say it's okay to feel vulnerable about this because so do I. So please open up and be
Right.
okay wherever you are and
Yeah.
not be, this
Yeah.
happened to me and my taxes are.
Giving permission to talk. I get it. Yeah. Wow. Julie, thank you so much for joining us for this Beyond the Page episode. What's the best way for people to reach you?
The easiest way would be to go on my platform, which is you can find at ownyourlife.academy. So own your life in one.
Ownyourlife.academy. Got it. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's it for this episode of Beyond the Page. For more episodes, continue to subscribe via your favorite podcast app. If you love it, please tell your friends, refer us to others. It's the only way we get the message out about coaching and all of the information we offer at Choice. If you're not a subscriber, you can sign up for your free digital issue or scan that. Or go to choice-online.com and click the sign up now button. I'm Gary Schleifer. Enjoy the journey of mastery. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you so much. Bye.